and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the crucified and the risen Christ. Early in the morning, probably around 6 a.m., that's when the workday would begin in Israel, 6 a.m. That would be the first hour. The owner of a vineyard makes a verbal contract with some day laborers that they will work for him for one denarius. That was the customary wage for one full day of work, labor. Then, as the day progresses, the owner continues to go out into the marketplace looking for and recruiting more workers to work for him in his vineyard. He goes out at 9 a.m., the third hour. He goes out at 12 noon, the sixth hour. He goes out at 3 o'clock, mid-afternoon, the ninth hour. And then finally, at 5 p.m., the 11th hour, late in the afternoon, 5 p.m., just 1 hour until quitting time, he goes out again. And to each and every one, he promises that he will pay them, quote, whatever is right, close quote. At the end of the day, true to his promise, the owner of the vineyard says to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay. Begin with those who came last at 5 o'clock, and then those who came at 3, and then those who came at noon, and then those who came at 9, and those who started at the very first at 6 a.m. in the morning. When those who had worked only 1 hour came, they received a denarius, a full day's wages. Wow. And obviously they are just delighted. And the same with those who had worked only 3 hours. They too receive a full day's wages, and they too are now no doubt ecstatic about all of this. And so on it goes until those who have been hired first at 6 a.m., they come to be paid. They've been watching what's been going on, and they think that, well, we're going to receive more. But to their surprise, each of them receives a full day's wage, exactly what everyone else had received, exactly what they had been promised. Verse 11, and when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Their hostility, their jealousy, it's obvious. They hold nothing back, and they make no effort to hide their anger and their indignation, their pride. You have made them equal to us. How dare you? We are far better. We are far more deserving, far more worthy than they. This is not fair. It's just plain wrong. To work 12 hours through the scorching heat of the day and then to be paid the exact same wage as those who've only worked one lousy hour, and that was in the cool of the day? Well, we can understand their shock. We can understand their resentment. Who of us would not have at least grumbled under our breath? Imagine waking up in the dark of night in order to arrive super early for a day after Thanksgiving Day sale. Some of you have done that. You are determined to be the very first one in line because you want to make sure that you get the very best sales before they're gone. And then the owner of the store shows up. And it's now time to open the doors. And who does he let in first? The people who are at the very back of the lines, the ones who just arrived. And you've been out there through the cold of the early morning. Your coffee ran out a long time ago, and you're shivering, and you have to still stand there, and you're the last person let in, and you were the first in line. Or imagine that you've just camped out all night at a ticket window to get the very best tickets to your favorite rock concert. And again, the manager shows up. You know, you've been there in your sleeping bag and in your tent all night long. And who does he let in first? The people at the very end of the line, the one who just showed up. We would be ticked. And these 12-hour, 6 a.m. workers from the vineyard, oh, they are ticked. This is not fair. But the owner is undaunted. He reasons with the grumblers patiently, quietly. Haven't I kept my agreement with you? He has paid them all the fair standard wage for a full day's work. He has given them everything he promised them. Note the complainers are upset not because the master has been unfair. They are angry because he has been more than fair. Indeed, he has been merciful. He has been gracious. But others have gained more from his generosity than they have, and therefore they are jealous. It's interesting to notice what titles we often place over this parable in our Bibles. In my Bible, it says, the editor wrote this heading, "The Workers in the Vineyard." But far more than a story about some workers, this is a parable about a generous, shockingly generous employer. One who deals with those who work for him with quite unnecessary generosity. The first workers who have worked all day complain. But really, the only person to suffer, the only person to lose out in this story is the owner of the vineyard. Obviously, he would have been far better off if he had just paid the exact amount that he owed for X number of hours correspondingly to each of the laborers, and then kept the rest of that money for himself. The master's only fault is his generosity, his mercy. Maybe his concern goes far beyond giving to each one what they deserve. Could it be that the plight of the latecomers touches the heart of the master? He sees that they will have practically nothing to take home. They are in need of more. The pay for 1 hour's worth of work won't begin to meet the needs of their families, their children. They will go hungry if more is not done for them. Something more. Something more than fairness must prevail. Mercy, generosity are needed. It is now because of the owner's concern for the workers' real needs that he chooses to pay each of them a full day's wage. It is through his own personal loss, through his sacrifice, through his gift, he meets their needs. Jesus' point is to teach his listeners, to teach you and me about God. God. His treatment of women and men is always incredibly more generous than we will ever possibly believe. He accepts sinners without shame. He shows forgiveness to the unworthy, to the undeserving. Verse 3. When the master went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." Whatever is right. Who in our economy of life will decide what's right? You? Me? How about God? Who will determine what is true and what is the truth? You, me, or how about God? Who determines what is fair? Who decides? Then God, our Lord Jesus, is more concerned about grace and mercy than he is concerned with our understandings of what is fair. Because in the kingdom of God, I don't need what is fair. Oh, I do not need what is fair. I do not need what I have earned, because what I have earned is death. That's what God's word says. It says the wages of sin is death. That's what I've earned. Oh, please don't give me what is fair. Thank God for Jesus, who is more than fair. More than fair. He is generous. He is merciful. A little story. And it's true. Remember the indignant workers? Remember their words, those who had worked 12 hours? You have made them equal to us. I'll never forget one of the deacons in the congregation where I interned in northern Minnesota 43 years ago. At one time in his life, he had been the town drunk. Literally, the guy, he would drink so much again and again, night after night, you'd always find him passed out in the gutters every single morning. And in a little town like Erskine, Minnesota, everybody saw him. I think people have stopped counting the number of times that he had gone through any number of detox centers. And oh, it would work for a while, maybe a few days, maybe even as much as a month. But then he would be back on the bottle. And then finally, one day, by the grace of God, it worked. He went to detox and he didn't go back on the bottle. He went through detox and he didn't end up back in the gutter. It worked. And by the time I came to know him, he was a new man. Truly in Christ, he was a wonderful new creation. But you know, there are some folks in that congregation who never wanted to forget what he used to be. Town drunk. And the thought of him being a deacon in their congregation, the thought of someone who used to be the town drunk up there helping the pastor serve Holy Communion, touching those holy vessels, standing on that holy ground, distributing the consecrated wine, the very blood of Christ, oh, that was just too much for them. How? How could the pastor allow this, permit this? Why, by letting him do this, you have made him equal to us. Surely he could never be worthy. He could never be good enough to earn this privilege. And you know what? They were right. You can't earn grace. You cannot deserve grace. You can never be good enough for grace. And ironically, the name of that little Lutheran church is Grace Lutheran. The only way to receive grace is when you receive it as a gift. Sure, pure gift. In no way ever earned or deserved. Grace. That is the great equalizer given to sinners, sinners who need it and never will be able to earn it. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, who is not fair. Thank God for Jesus, who is more than fair. Oh, he is gracious. He is merciful. He is extravagant with his forgiving love. Amen.